This is Josh Reeves reminding you that the Global Reality Radio Network operates from the generous support of listeners like you. Unlike many other networks who view their listeners as an easy mark to sell products to, the Global Reality attempts to reclaim the free will of the individual, and we know this is much appreciated by you, the listener. With operating costs and film budgets being an unfortunate part of what we do, the Global Reality needs your support right now more than ever. Please show your support today by visiting www.theglobalreality.com. Scroll down to the right side of the page and use one of our safe, secure donation buttons or become a member with a monthly pledge. Cancel anytime. Thank you for supporting the uncensored, commercial-free message of individual freedom.
Uncensored, no holds barred talk. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This is the Global Reality Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another live edition of the Global Reality right here on the Global Reality Radio Network. I'm your host, Josh Reeves. This is a Thursday night going into Friday Moonbat edition of the show. I promised that we would still do some of these on Thursday nights sometimes because we have a lot of listeners out there who have contacted me and said that this is the only time that they get to listen live, and the rest of the time they have to either listen to rebroadcasts. And also we have a lot of overseas listeners who listen at this time as well. So this is for all those people who want a live show during the week. And plus it's good for me as well because he gets to mix up the monotony of doing this. I'm not really a morning person, to be honest with you. It's very difficult for me to get my head in gear by 11 o'clock every morning to do a radio show. And I think when I did that for a long time, it started to wane on me mentally. So this will be a good thing to kind of mix it up for me and give me a little break during the middle of the week, and then do the other shows 11 to 2, Monday through Friday, Central Standard Time. And there may be some weeks where all the shows that we do that week all are 11 to 2. I want to make that clear. There may be some shows, some weeks where we do it all during that, and then other weeks we'll do the Moonbat thing here where we do late night. And as always, all topics of discussion are on the table here tonight. If you'd like to join us on the program, we do have wide open phone lines tonight, 214-613-5732. That's 214-613-5732, and we'll get you on the air with us here tonight for the broadcast. You can also join lots of chatters in the Global Reality chat room tonight at theglobalreality.com. Boy, there's lots of people in there tonight. And so big shout out and thanks to everybody who's hanging out in there tonight. And we've got lots of great people, a lot of faces in there. A lot of people hadn't seen it. Somebody in there earlier said it was a family reunion in there tonight. It kind of is. There's lots of people I haven't seen in there tonight. So thank you to everybody for being here. New listeners, old listeners, new friends, old friends, people I've known for a long time doing radio, or whoever out there. Thanks to everybody for being here and being with us tonight. We hope that you'll want to be a part of the things that we're going to be talking about tonight. I've got some things to add to the things we were discussing yesterday pertaining to the New Madrid fault and some of that other information. So we'll get into that tonight. A whole big stack of news and information, which we'll pick and choose from and go through tonight as well here on the show. So it's a different energy. You know, it's a different vibe when you do these shows here late at night. It's always a different energy for me, and I enjoy doing them here late night as well. If you also have questions that you would like to email in, or you have, tidbits or news items or pieces of research or anything else you'd like to contact me with, my email address is globalrealityshow@gmail.com. That's globalrealityshow@gmail.com. I do check that email. It's my main email that I use, so I check that all the time through the day. It's not just like just for the show or something, so you can always email me there anytime with anything, questions or stuff you want to hear me address during the show or topics or guest suggestions or anything else, because now we have the ability where we can get guests on, but I just haven't had the time on top of all the other crazy shit going on to even worry about trying to book any guests quite yet, but we will work on having some of those for you here very soon. Let me give out the call-in number again tonight, 214-613-5732. That number is located up under the Listen tab that's located at the website where this broadcast originates from, theglobalreality.com. I got to tell you, I was really blown away this week by the listenership that we've had launching that show back into that time slot. Unbelievably big record numbers for anything that I've ever done. I've just been blown away. I mean, 3 days of doing the show in that time. If you guys keep that up and continue to spread the word about my show being on during the time that other guy's show was on, if the numbers stay like they are right now, boy, this guy's going to start sweating here in the next month like he hadn't already. I'm telling you what. So thank you to you guys. Thank you to everybody out there who has spread the word about our new time slot and what we're trying to do here, what we're trying to expose and get into. And it seems that, as I've talked about many times, things that you're supposed to find, pieces of information and tidbits that you're supposed to find, they seem like they just present themselves to you. It's unbelievable. And I've had I had my third experience with something very interesting tonight. For example, and this is something you guys who've been listening for a while have heard me talk about. There's been twice before and a third tonight. Situations where I'm taking a few minutes of downtime, really away from researching and away from looking at info to either, one time it was, I was just taking some time away to watch. I was watching this Captain Summit thing on these Star Trek DVDs that I got, and it was all the Star Trek people talking. And that was where I found the clip about Shatner mentioning the, you know, some of the models and the hoax technology used. And so I put out a little film on that. That was something that just came while I was just having a little downtime relaxing. And then just a few months ago, the same thing happened here recently where I was, same thing. I was taking some time away from editing the film and I was watching a documentary on my favorite drummer, Stuart Copeland. And then I talked about this on Lee's show last time. And then just out of the blue, here is Stuart Copeland talking about, you know, yeah, we were on this ranch of you know, a Khashoggi in Africa. And then all the connections with, you know, Stuart Copeland's parents being in the OSS and the CIA and all this other stuff and him going to school with Osama bin Laden. It was just, you know, unbelievable revelations. And then tonight, a third one, I was sitting down getting ready to eat some dinner. And I didn't really want to watch anything, or, you know, I wasn't in the mood to watch, to have any, you know, anything video playing. You know, if you look at video all day and stuff like that, just, you know, sometimes you just want to listen to music. And that's why I play music here for, you know, a period of time before we start the live shows. For those of you out there that listen to the network, if you hear like a whole album or you hear a block of music and tunes on the streams, that's an indicator that there's a live show coming at some point in the near future. But so tonight I was getting ready to eat some food and I was wanted to hear some music. And I was like kind of looking through my stuff to see what I wanted to listen to. And lo and behold, I was like, I want to listen to Uncle Tupelo. And if you don't know who Uncle Tupelo is, you should check them out. They were a band in the 1990s, a sort of alternative rock country type band. It had Jeff Tweedy from Wilco. He wanted to form Wilco after being in this band, and then Jay Farrar, who went on to form Sunvolt, who Sunvolt is allegedly Bill Clinton's favorite band. I always thought that was weird. Sunvolt, I love them. They're my favorite band. Yeah. I love that Jay Farrar. He plays the guitar real good. I was like, really? Okay. It's kind of an obscure band for Billy Boy to like. But anyway, I decided I wanted to listen to Uncle Tupelo. And so as I was listening to Uncle Tupelo, one of my favorite songs by Uncle Tupelo, come on, I don't remember a lot of the words or a lot of the names of the songs, because a lot of the songs when they were coming out, it was in the days of cassette tapes. And so, you know, your friends would make you a cassette tape and give you a cassette. It would have a bunch of songs on it by a certain band, but you know, you wouldn't have, wasn't like the internet days now where if, even if you download an album, you know, you get the name of the song and all that stuff. So I, you know, sort of listened to this and I wasn't really paying attention to what song it was. And I started noticing these lyrics. I was like, well, that's odd. He just said something very odd there. That's strange. I'm like, am I just imagining this because, you know, cause that's where my head is at thinking about this New Madrid stuff. And I was like, what is the name of this song again? And I went and looked. Lo and behold, the name of the Uncle Tupelo song that I was listening to is called New Madrid. I don't have it on, I don't think I have it on the network computer. I had what I was listening to it on was one of my other computers. I don't think I have it on this one, but I'd play it for you here during the break, but I just don't have it on this other computer. I'll have to get it and play it at some point. But the song was New Madrid. And I was like, I started looking at the lyrics and I was like, well, this is talking about an earthquake. All my daydreams are disasters. I was, you know, and then he starts talking about shake my baby and please bring her back because death will never, won't even be still. Karam's over the landfill. And I went, Karam's over the landfill, and I had to look up that word Karam's, K-A-R-O-M. It's a shot in billiards which the cue ball strikes each two object balls. And I started thinking, well, isn't that interesting that we were talking about this gentleman, John Wheeler, yesterday, who was found dead in the landfill, who was a member on the Council on Foreign Relations, who allegedly was about to blow the whistle on this phosgene chemical that allegedly is being pumped in the ground and is causing these birds and fish to die off around the world. And I said, well, isn't that just a weird, strange thing there that this would be in this Uncle Tupelo song? And there's a line in the song where he says, Mr. Browning has a prediction and we've all been told. So come back from New York City, roll your trucks in at dawn, roll me under the landfill, blah, 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 New Madrid. And I was like, well, who is this Mr. Browning character? So I went and found that. And I went and started looking and, lo and behold, Jeff Tweedy was the author of the song New Madrid, a song about Ivan Browning's erroneous prediction of an apocalyptic earthquake in New Madrid, Missouri. And I was like, well, who is this guy? So I'll go and find out. I'll go look up Iba Browning. Iba Browning, born 1918, died in 1991, was born in Edna, Texas on January 9th, 1918. And grew up in Jackson, Texas, and graduated from Southwest Texas State Teachers College in 1937, majoring in both math and physics. During World War II, he served in the Army Air Corps. Subsequently, he earned a MA at the University of Texas in Austin in 1947, and then a doctorate of philosophy degree during the following year at the same school. Browning worked in various scientific fields, including, get this, artificial intelligence and bioengineering, and eventually became interested in long-term weather forecasting and climate changes. A little more than 2 years after Browning's death, the alternative country band Uncle Tupelo described the media hoopla in their song New Madrid. Now listen to this. This guy was completely marginalized. They pushed his research off in the corner. No one would listen to him. Everybody called him a crank and a kook. Now listen, this was his theories. Listen to this. This will blow you away. Browning believed that climate fluctuations are caused by changes in the amount of particulate matter in the atmosphere. Okay, so if his, I'm not going to go any further. Let's stop right there. Browning believed that climate fluctuations are caused by changes in the amount of particulate matter in the atmosphere. Now, what do we know of the chemtrail operation, which we know has been, and most likely is directly tied to this operation to use a force multiplication effect on the New Madrid fault line? Well, they're particulate matter, and what are they able to do? They're able to change the climate through fluctuations of this particulate matter, and that was his theory and one of the theories that he was marginalized for. Now, here's the rest. The major source of these changes is volcanic activity. He believed that volcanic activity can be triggered by land tidal forces caused by the moon, Earth's elliptical orbit of the sun, and the alignment of these three bodies. His climate predictions assumed that the dust thrown into the atmosphere by those eruptions reflects sunlight, which results in climactic cooling. Browning believed that climactic changes, especially cooling, are associated with increased troubles in human society, including famine, revolutions, and war. And we're going through massive cooling, yet they're telling us that we're heating the Earth up. And according to, again, Ivan Browning, he believed that when the planet started cooling, that we would see increased troubles in human society, including famine, revolutions, and war. Well, where are we, folks? Listen to this. Browning described his climatic theories and findings in The Climate and the Affairs of Men, which he co-authored with Nels Winkless III and published in 1975. At that time, he believed that the Earth had been through a long warm period and was moving into a dangerous cooling phase. He also declared that he had not detected any effect of human activity on the climate. Ivan Browning was a scientific generalist who made a career of suggesting new and sometimes unusual ideas. So again, this is another one of those crazy things. This is the third time this has happened to me where, I mean, I was just listening to some tunes, and then I just talked about this yesterday. If you didn't hear my show yesterday, definitely go back and listen to that one so you get a better understanding and idea of what I'm talking about. And this was the same thing that about a month ago we had covered this thing about these national level exercises going on in May of 2011 surrounding a massive earthquake going off somewhere in the zone of the New Madrid fault line. And then, of course, all this other information that's come out with this guy. Everybody in the press was calling him John Manning III, but nobody called this guy John Manning. One of our listeners, Cygirl, in the chat room earlier had pointed out, hey, did you see what this guy's full name was? Because when you go and try to look up stuff on his name, John Wheeler, you find out that he really went by Jack Wheeler. And as Cygirl had pointed out to me, when you go and look at his full official name, and this is the gentleman who was found, of course, in the dumpster, and then seen disheveled in a parking lot, a parking garage on tape. Allegedly, this is the guy that was about to blow the whistle on this Phosgene bioweapon being pumped into the ground in Arkansas. Council on Foreign Relations member, Reagan White House member, Bush 41. This guy's full name, ladies and gentlemen, is Jack Parsons Wheeler. Jack Parsons Wheeler. Now, how come the media didn't bother telling us that? So I think that we have our first indicator that with these national level exercises, 2011 going on in May, exactly the same time when it's been predicted that the end of the world is going to occur by these Christians, or the beginning of the end of the world. I think we have a clear indicator, ladies and gentlemen, with this, with John Wheeler, Jack Parsons Wheeler, that this entire situation surrounding the Phosgene chemical, the New Madrid earthquake, this is going to be a massive ritual. You heard it here first. I'm putting this out there. I believe that whatever is going to happen, whatever this massive event that they're drilling for, this massive earthquake of drill, is going to be going on simultaneously with the real thing happening. And I believe that this guy lying in the dumpster symbolically, with his middle name being Jack Parsons Wheeler, is significant in a tribute to some of the different big rituals that were done, including the Babylon working ritual, which was done right around the time of the setting off of the Fat Man and Little Boy atomic bomb experiments. And this is the kind of calling cards they like to drop, and I believe that that is indeed what this is. So if this goes down and this happens, and with the amount of drills they're doing, and as we talked about yesterday, the amount of links back to the FEMA articles and all these different articles pertaining to this that have now been summarily removed, you can still go find it, go look up National Level Exercise 2011 and find out that that's happening to drill for this scenario. And I think the other end of this is this force multiplication. I think this is happening. I think all of this stuff happening, the birds happening, the fish, I think all this is a direct result of the fact that Earth is starting to lose its magnetic field. And we are starting to head towards the possibility of a pole shift happening. But I think what they're doing is they're using force multiplication like HARP, chemtrails, phosgene chemicals, bioweapons pumped into the ground, dumped into the oceans. What happened with the Gulf oil thing breaking up that bottom ground to loosen that fault, to get those tectonic plates moving so this event will happen? You see? And, to wake up and to have talked about that yesterday and talked about all this stuff with the pole shift and the Earth losing its magnetic field, to wake up today and see this article out of Tampa Bay Online. Shift of Earth's magnetic North Pole affects Tampa Airport. Now listen to this. Scientists say the magnetic North Pole is moving towards Russia, and the fallout has reached, of all places, Tampa International Airport. The airport has closed its primary runway until January 13th to repaint the numeric designators at each end and change taxiway signage to account for the shift in location of the Earth's magnetic North Pole. The closure of the west parallel runway will result in more activity on the east parallel runway and more noise for residential areas of South Tampa. So they're actually having to, it says the Federal Aviation Administration required the runway designation change to account for what a National Geographic News report described as a gradual shift of the Earth's magnetic pole at nearly 40 miles a year towards Russia because of magnetic changes in the core of this planet. That's an admission right there in that article at the very bottom of this. That we're going into a massive pole shift happening. I mean, birds, fish, these things are going to be affected by any changes in the Earth's magnetic field. That's how they navigate. That's how fish know when to swim upstream at certain times of year to spawn and have fish and the rest of it. And that's how birds know when to migrate. It's all manipulated by the magnetic field. And this is most likely what I believe has probably caused the massive die-offs of all the bees as well. There are these changes in the electromagnetic field. And this is all documented scientifically that Earth is losing its magnetic field very rapidly. Right now, it's documented that this is supposed to happen on Earth every 100,000 years. Well, guess when the last one happened? 370,000 years ago. So we're about 270,000 years overdue for one of these, ladies and gentlemen. Because they've done, I watched this NOVA program about it last night, and they've done, you know, samples where they can go into the volcanic rock off of Hawaii, and they can tell how often there have been pole shifts on this planet. And they've been able to determine that every 100,000 years, there's a pole shift on Earth. And the last time there was one was 370,000 years ago, which puts us 270,000 years overdue for one. Which is strange because it almost seems as if they've been mitigating this from happening, or the energy of people on Earth has been mitigating this and keeping it from happening for an extended amount of time. And now they are trying to use force multipliers to get this to happen more quickly and to speed this along, as if they're trying to, you know, engineer the biblical end time scenarios or engineer the Mayan calendar predictions of the end of the known world for December 21st, 2012. But I fully believe that what is going on is an operation where they are trying to take existing natural disasters and use the technology to speed them up and make them more catastrophic. We've seen a precedent for this. We've seen this happen in almost every major weather event that's happened in the past decade, folks. Katrina, the Indonesian tsunami, the Chinese earthquake, the Haiti earthquake. I mean, on and on and on. So there are massive indicators of this happening, and I had a picture earlier. Let me go back through my stack here. This is, and this is very similar to the Edgar Cayce map, but allegedly this is what United States is going to look like post the California earthquake and post the New Madrid earthquake. It's very interesting. I'll put that in the chat room for you there. And when you know it, it doesn't want to pop up, doesn't want to come up. Yeah, go figure that. There it goes. All right. We only need that once. But like I said, when more and more of these indicators start to present themselves to you, and I'm going to look more into this guy, Ivan Browning. It seems to me this guy had it right a long time ago, and they were trying to marginalize him and did marginalize him. And, it's just, you never know where the truth is going to come to you. It comes in the strangest places sometimes, doesn't it? Definitely comes where you least expect it. If you want to join us on the program tonight, 214-613-5732. That's 214-613-5732. That is the number to get you up in on the air with us tonight during the broadcast for this special late night Moonbat edition of the show. Any topic of discussion that you want to that you want to weigh in on? Anything at all? I'll be happy to get into it with you here tonight on the broadcast. We've got a bunch of news and information as well to talk about tonight. I'm trying to make sure I didn't have any thing. Oh, yeah, here's another one that's very interesting. This came out November 26, 2010. One of our listeners sent me this as well. Earthquake preparedness. January 26 will be Canada's largest earthquake drill. Are you ready? And a lot of our Canadian listeners, we have a ton of Canadian listeners, might want to know about this. At precisely 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time on January 26th, British Columbia is holding a province-wide earthquake drill where everyone is encouraged to drop, cover, and hold on. Oh, it's not stop, drop, and roll anymore. It's drop, cover, and hold on. Any combination of which is not going to protect your ass from a nuke or a fucking earthquake. Give me a break. Oh, this is 2011. They're still doing duck and cover, stop, drop, and roll, drop, cover, and hold on to your motherfucking ass for a goddamn earthquake. Oh, everyone is encouraged to drop, cover, and hold on for at least 60 seconds. It's got to be at least 60 seconds. If it's 59, your ass is going to fall off into a pit of hell. So you better hold on longer than fucking 59 seconds. That's all I'm saying. Why is it got to be exactly 60 seconds? British Columbia is located in a seismically active region where, according to experts, we are overdue for the big one, so we better be prepared. Don't live in British Columbia? That's okay. Why not use this event as an excuse to hold your own drill? I can't believe it really literally just said that in this article. Don't live in British Columbia? That's okay. Why not use this event as an excuse to hold your own drill? Yeah, you don't have anything better to do, so why don't you just, have your own motherfucking earthquake drill? That's what we do for fun up here, eh? In Canada, eh? Let's have ourselves an earthquake drill, buddy. British Columbia certainly isn't the only region prone to earthquake activity. It's always good to practice your emergency skills several times a year. Yeah. But make sure you figure out how to duck and cover in case a nuke comes. You need to practice that at least twice a year. You never know when you're going to need it. In fact, if you're a business owner or property manager, you are required by law to drill. So why not join Shakeout and hone your emergency preparedness skills? I mean, that's unbelievable. You live in BC? Well, there you go, evil bughead. There's the link to it right there. Just blow up the whole damn planet? Fuck. Yeah, I know. That's part of the whole thing, you know. You got to be aware and you got to be cautious and you got to know what's going on. But at the same time, you don't ever want to let the fear take over. But that's why yesterday, you know, I mean, this whole thing with the New Madrid earthquake. You know me, I don't ever get up here and tell you that something is a serious threat unless I feel that it is. And I think this is something we need to be paying attention to. And the fact that I keep getting little clues thrown at me and getting the, the rest of this stuff kind of presented to me, you know, that's why I can't ignore it. Oh, it's just insane. And then that whole stuff with that guy, you know, Wheeler, the guy found in the dumpster, Cygirl finding out that his name was Jack Parsons Wheeler. That's just unbelievable. I mean, this just gets weirder and weirder and weirder, but I think that's a calling card for this thing being a massive ritual. I think that's what it is. There's the little blurb so you can verify that. There is his name, yeah. It just gets weirder and weirder and weirder. Especially when you look into Jack Parsons, his connections with L. Ron Hubbard and Crowley and all the rest of this stuff. Somebody was pointing out some Crowley connection earlier. Can't remember what it was. Mind-blowing stuff. Anyway, we're going to take a break, come back, and we'll get into more news information tonight. If you want to call into the show, 214-613-5732. That's 214-613-5732. That is the number to get you up and on the air with us tonight here for the broadcast. And I'd be happy to get into anything that you would like to discuss. Stay with us, folks. This is The Global Reality right here on the Global Reality Radio Network.
I can see it in your eyes, girl, that you're in the mood for love. come sit down on the rug. But there's something I must tell you, babe, before we take this step. Something about me, girl, that you do not know yet. I have no penis. It was torn. Love you in different ways. I'll make love to you with the rubber tube that I use for urinating. I'll just tape two popsicle sticks around it, make it easier for penetrating. And having only one ball isn't always a bad thing. It's like a pool ball in a pillowcase. It's like the cherry on the sundae. 'Cause girl, I have no penis. I have no cock. If it looks like I have a ball, just 'cause I stuff it with a sock.
Thank you.
All right, back here with you on the Global Reality, right here on the Global Reality Radio Network. I'm your host, Josh Reeves. Thank you for being with us for this late night moon bat edition of the broadcast. Glad you could be with us tonight. And glad you're up late with us. If you want to join us in the program, 214-613-5732. That's 214-613-5732. And we'll get you up and on the air with us tonight with any topic of discussion here that you want to discuss. Nothing is ever taboo here and too crazy and wild. So call in and let us know what you think and let it rip, and we'll get you up and on the air with us tonight during any part of the broadcast. And also join all the chatters in the chat room tonight. There's lots in there, lots of good conversation going on about a lot of good topics. So definitely check that out as well. And email me topics as well at globalrealityshow@gmail.com. Also, we ask that you support our broadcast by using the chip-in banner or the donate button at my website, theglobalreality.com. It's on the right-hand side of the page on just about any page you go to at The Global Reality. Scroll down there, and there's a chip-in banner there, and that helps us pay the bills every month to stay alive. And the donate button is there if you want to donate larger amounts and be a contributor and someone who can grant cash that will go towards our films. You can use the donate button for that. Any amount that you want to donate is fine there. And we also have a recurring donation button there where you can have a monthly pledge that comes out of your bank account every month, and you don't have to come back and donate, and it's easier on you, and it comes out of your account automatically every month. And you can cancel that at any time. So those are the ways that you keep us commercial free, uncensored, and keep us pushing forward here as we continue to rise our listenership. And you know, and the fucking megalithic rise in the listenership over the past few days, you know, it sometimes when we get an influx of listenership, it doesn't also reflect the amount of support that we get. And there's like, you know, three or four or five people out there that are keeping us alive every month. And those people need your help as well. Those four or five people, you know who you are out there that donate every month to keep us alive here. They need help out there. You know, they can't do it all themselves. And those are the people out there. You got four or five people that are providing you with my radio show, my network, and my films and everything else. So thanks to all those people. And we've sort of been a slow week for us here. So please donate support if you can. We're down to, I don't know, $5 or $6 in our account. So please support us and help us out if you can there, folks. There's some interesting stuff here. I've heard bits and bits about this, but haven't really covered it very much here on the show, but I will here tonight because it does involve some of these people that relate to the Council for National Policy. I do want to mention one more thing, though, before I get into this. This guy, Jack Parsons Wheeler, the guy found dead in the landfill that was a Council on Foreign Relations member. This guy also had his stories published by WorldNet Daily. As many of you know, WorldNet Daily is the only news source, the only news outlet allowed inside of Council for National Policy meetings. And WorldNet Daily, of course, Jerome Corsi, he's a member. He'll proudly tell you he's a member. He's proud of it. I talked to him about it. I called him to a show once, and he was very upfront about it, that he was a member and stuff. And saw him in person back in 2008 and just went up to him and said, "Hey, you know, what's up with the Council for National Policy?" And he said, "Oh, you know, it's a great group, you know, if you can afford to be in it, and it's, and you know, they know how to get stuff done, blah, blah, blah." He's very, you know, upfront about it. But I just thought I wanted to throw that in there, that this guy, Jack Parsons Wheeler, found dead in the landfill, also had his articles published by WorldNet Daily. I thought that was another interesting tie-in. Conservatives claim anti-tax crusader secretly leading Muslim indoctrination. We'll talk about this in just a minute. Right now, we do have a phone call. So let's go to the phone lines. Global Reality, you're on the air. Caller, go ahead.
Hi, this is Rick in San Diego, Josh.
Rick, how you doing, man?
Good, good. I have some information I wanted to share tonight about this Harold Camping person.
Harold Camping. Now, tell for our listeners who don't know who he is, go ahead and give a little background, and then give us the information you have.
Oh yeah, Harold Camping. I've known about him for 10 years, and because I had a very good friend who have lost to him. Harold Camping has been predicting the end of the world. It's going to come in 2011. Ever since 1994, when it failed to end, he predicted. He wrote a book called 1994 with a question mark, and it didn't end. And he said it would end then, and it didn't. And he bases it on the date of the flood. He gets the date of the flood from the patriarchs, the age of the patriarchs in the Bible. And it's very questionable, the math he uses. And then he comes up And then he says, in 2 Peter, it says seven days to the flood, or God said 7 days to the flood to Noah. And then he says that those 7 days represent 1,000 years each, or 7,000 years. And from the date of the flood, he adds up 7,000 years to the date of 2011. But what I found is he's very secretive. He owns Family Radio, and it's broadcast in every language practically in the world. I mean, he's broadcast in Oromo, Assamese. I mean, languages I've never even heard of. Like, where did he?
This is just to be clear for the listening audience, Rick. This is the guy who all these people were freaking out with that article we covered earlier in the week, saying that the end of the world was going to begin on May 21st, 2011. Correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, he's the one who the people were doing the RV thing and the women going to Iraq. She's a follower of him, and people really follow this guy. And he says he owned a company called Camping Construction. And he was in Oakland or in San Francisco, and he supposedly sold his company. And there were some lawsuits because of labor unions, and some people got sick with, some workers got sick with asbestos poisoning. And they worked for this company. That's all I've been able to find as far as secret society. It's like people don't even know who his wife is. And yet this guy's broadcast. He got an FM license before people even had FM radios.
Wow, it's unbelievable. So this guy's been basically propped up to be sort of the person that was going to condition a lot of the masses of Christians and others to start believing that this was going to happen, maybe possibly to even get them to will it into being, possibly, right?
That's what I'm thinking, that there's a law of attraction being used as a force multiplier effect here, that his purpose is he was actually put up there to get people to believe in this so that they will it and manifest it into being. I know several people, actually, that I know another woman now who's starting to follow him, and she's like, yep. I said 2011. She smiled at me. She said, yep. These people, like, they're sick. I mean, they think that they're glorifying God. They think they're good, and they're better than the rest of us, you know, that we're the wicked ones, you know. But they're gloating and glorifying over that this stuff is happening.
Yeah, I've been real, real skeptical and concerned with this, Rick, for a long time, with this whole idea of them using us and getting us to manifest this stuff into being. And I thought that for a long time that was what 2012 was about, is trying to get us to manifest this doom and gloom stuff, because our energy is very powerful. And the whole law of attraction, which is exactly what it is a very real force in the universe. And we just don't know, or really have no comprehension for the power of this when it's conducted by millions and millions and billions of souls on this planet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, and I absolutely, I totally agree with you on that. And I think Harold Camping is what I was going to say was he. I mean, this guy got FM licenses before FM rock stations, even before even most people even had FM radios. I think this guy's got some pull. So I went to go look to see if there's any Council for National Policy things. And it's interesting that his show is called Family Radio, and James Dobson's show is called Focus on the family.
Yeah,
but I couldn't find any provable links between him and the council, CNP, or you know, anything like that. I couldn't. I find it weird that people don't even know. Like, one document said that people don't even know who his wife is, and I find that highly suspicious. Why is this guy so secretive?
Well, you're from California, Rick. Do you know? Can you tell us maybe roughly how far it is from wherever this guy Camping is located to where La Haye was located? Didn't La Haye start up not too far from where you live there in San Diego?
Yeah, La Haye started actually in El Cajon, which is a suburb of here. There's
okay.
actually there's a college here actually that was associated with La Haye, which I'm gonna take a trip to eventually when I get the time. And Harold Camping is in Oakland. He's in Northern California.
Okay.
He's up near San Francisco. But yeah, so it's, I mean, I lost a friend to him. I had a friend who we used to talk and laugh and everything. And now all he talks about is 2011. He's been obsessed with this since 2008. And it's even tempting for me to believe it with this news. I mean, it's scary and I had to fight the fear. And I tell you, you know, a reason why a lot of people fear the death of the physical body in America is because they've been conditioned to believe in hell, that they're going to suffer after they die.
Right.
And even though they're Christians and they're saved, supposedly, there's that doubt. There's enough scripture in there that plants doubt in their mind of Jesus telling people, you know, I never knew you, away from me. And they're like, didn't I do this? Didn't I do that? Didn't I feed the hungry? And Jesus is like, no, you didn't. So the scripture actually that the priest class put in there to get you to doubt your own salvation, even though you're saved by Christ, you know. So people don't know whether they're going to, and this guy, Harold Camping, preaches predestination, which I don't understand why these people, why even bother promoting anything, because he believes there's nothing you can do to be saved, that you're born saved or born lost, that babies die and go to hell even, you know.
Well, I think the one thing that sticks out like a sore thumb to me about all of this is the fact that, I think we're starting to see some real solid proof here that what they are indeed doing is through technology and through force multiplication stuff, they are actually enacting these events, causing these events to happen. They're knowing willfully years ahead of time they're going to cause these to happen, and then they're using these bozos, these priest class bozos and these preachers and the rest of this to then get people to be convinced that whatever happens is a fulfillment of Bible prophecy. And in any time they hear somebody say, well, hey, look at this evidence of the government doing this, look at the evidence of so-and-so using this to make this thing happen, you're going to have a lot less people that are going to believe that if they believe this is somehow tied to biblical prophecy. And I believe that's the operation here, to get people to believe that this is tied into the end times and not a part of the overall power structure's great work.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've been thinking the same thing, too.
It just seems that this is what the job of all these guys are, is to deflect and get the common held belief over to what they want it to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, another thing I want to bring up too, and I hope you take this the right way, because I mean it as a compliment. Yesterday's radio broadcast he did was very reminiscent, reminded me an awful lot of Bill Cooper's broadcast when he predicted 9/11 in June 28, 2001. It had a very similar kind of ring to it, like I don't know, I just had that feeling, you know.
I don't know. I've never felt on the air as like. In the hot seat or really like, I don't know. I can't really describe it, man. I felt like there was a huge energy that I felt was like pushing behind me. And I felt like there was this huge energy that was like, affecting me. Cause I was like flying around while I was on the air and pausing and looking up stuff. And every time that I've come across some new revelation, that's how it's been. That's how it was for me when I first started finding out about the Council for National Policy stuff. And, you know, it was that same sort of immediacy of seeing, you know, Paul Craig Roberts and all these people's names, you know, that have been in the truth movement, and you find out they're a part of this group, and that sort of that overwhelming holy fuck type of thing. And it just seemed odd to me because, you know, a month ago or so, where we first got the phone lines, you called in and I was talking about that indie media thing about the New Madrid earthquake, and you were saying, you were like, oh my God, you know, yeah, well, fuck, this is what they're going to do. They've been telling us it's going to be the big San Francisco earthquake or the big California earthquake, when indeed what they're going to do is launched this, and then here we are barely a month later, and this is already being presented to us as a real possibility. It's mind-blowing.
Oh, yeah, it is. Another thing Harold Camping does is he tells listeners, he gives his listeners, there's this ego trip that they have that, you know, oh, everybody thinks the world's going to come to an end in 2012 when it's actually going to come to an end, but we, the chosen ones, think it's going to come in 2011. So he kind of gives them this special, like that they're special privileged people. Like there's this real elitism ego thing going on too.
Well, isn't his predictions based on like the Hebrew calendar or something weird like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because the flood happened on the 17th day of the second day of the 17th month or something like that in the Hebrew calendar, which corresponds to May 21st. And what they believe is that they're going to be raptured up on that day. And I went and looked in this document, and he said, on that day when the Christians get raptured up, there's going to be a great earthquake such as never been seen in the history of mankind. Actually, read in his book, it said this, and all the graves are going to be opened up. But then on October 21st is when the end is going to come, because for 6 months, the non-believers are going to be left here to suffer, you know, hell on earth, as they say it, you know.
Huh. That's very interesting. I was just doing a search here. I just typed in randomly into Google while you were talking there, May 21. That's all I typed in to see what will happen. And sure enough, the first 10 posts you see pertain to this.
Wow.
Biblical scholars date for rapture, May 21st, 2011, San Francisco Gate Chronicle. You know, end of days in May, Christian group spreads word. I mean, this is the first thing that comes up when you just type May 21 into a search engine. So yeah, if it's getting that many hits, that means it's being pushed quite a bit.
Yeah, yeah, because, you know, it wasn't pushed before, and suddenly now, like, I've known about this guy for 10 years, cause I, you know, but now all of a sudden it's in the news and it's in the mainstream, and I think this guy's connected. I think he's bloodline or I don't know what, but I think he's being promoted. I think, you know, he's probably connected to Dobson or Hagee or one of those. I don't know. I've got a feeling I smell a rat.
Well, or he could just be a crank. I mean, not connected to anything. He could very well just be a crackpot or something. I don't know. I mean, Weekly World News has been touting this article about the May 21st thing. I have it right here. Weekly World News has always run stuff from CIA disinfo operators through the years. We know that.
Wow.
So I don't know. I mean, like I said, maybe he is an operator. Maybe he's just a crank. I don't know. But either way, it definitely feels like they are trying to get people to put their energy into this.
Yeah.
Anything else tonight, Rick?
Oh, no, I just want to say thank you for doing your awesome radio show. Thank you for covering this and talking about camping. It really got me started. And so thank you so much for bringing that up yesterday.
Hey, no problem, man. You have a good one. And again, if you want to join us tonight here on the broadcast, we'd love to hear from you as well. At any point during the show tonight, folks, you can call in at 214-613-5732. That's 214-613-5732. That is the number to get you on the air with us tonight. And I'd be happy to get you up. We have wide open phone lines right now. Anything you'd like to discuss. I enjoy the phone calls, enjoy when people call in and we get to discuss whatever. But I was just about to get into this news article. I'd like to get into it now. This relates to the Council for National Policy. And our good buddy, Grover Norquist from the Council for National Policy. Yeah, you remember him. Remember all the shit I took back in 2008, 2009, back when I was criticizing Ron Paul for having this guy at his rally for the Republic. And everybody said, oh, he's good. He's an anti-tax crusader. He's a good guy. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we now know from the Casino Jack documentary. I mean, what did they say in that documentary? They said something about he was a Leninist, essentially. He had Leninist ideologies. But this is interesting, and I don't know what to make of this yet, whether this is an operation to cause division within the right wing further. I don't know. It's just a bizarre story. Conservatives claim anti-tax crusader secretly leading Muslim indoctrination. And what's interesting is the guy who is claiming this is a guy whose father was one of the founding members of the Council for National Policy. And I believe that he's also, I think his father was one of the founding members. I think he also may be Council for National Policy. I'm pretty sure he's Sovereign Military Order of Malta as well. But Frank Gaffney, we've talked about him many times on the show. Are a growing cross-section of American conservatives really secret Muslims bent on destroying Western civilization? No, but that's not stopping right-wing activist Frank Gaffney from claiming the Conservative Political Action Conference, CPAC, has been infiltrated by radical Muslims because of the inclusion of Americans for Tax Reform President Grover Norquist and former Bush staffer Saleh Khan. American Conservative Union, the oldest conservative lobbying organization in the country, which hosts CPAC, is involved in a stealthy effort to bring Sharia to the United States, according to Gaffney. Now, this sounds kooky even for these guys. I mean, the idea that Grover Norquist could be successful at anything, much less bringing in Sharia law, just seems odd to me. But hey, maybe there is something to it. But I mean, I don't trust either one of these twits because Gaffney and Norquist are both Council for National Policy members. And this is exact type of shit that these guys are paid to do. They are paid to fight and bicker and cause infighting within each other and then divide people on different factions of the right wing. So there's never any solidarity and they never get anything done. That's one of the main operations of the CMP and Jones and others that are connected to people that work within the Council for National Policy. That's one of the things that they do. There's always every year, you know, we'll see who's it going to be in 2011. You know, there's always some fallout with Jones and some talk show host around March or April every year. Ever notice that? John Statmiller, Scat Miller, it was 1 year, and one other year it was Jack Blood, and another year it was fucking Rent, and then this past year it was Mike Rivero. Who's it going to be this year? You know, that's what that stuff is all about. Those are operations designed to divide people into factions between, no, I like radio host A better over here. No, I like radio host B better over here. Now let's fight. Rawr. I mean, can't you see what an operation that is? Gaffney alleges that Norquist and Connor are secretly working for the Muslim Brotherhood, a radical Islamist group, and are trying to influence conservative groups in a plot to Islamicize America. Both Kahn and Norquist are ACU members. Kahn, a conservative activist who previously worked for the Bush administration, allegedly has ties to the radical Islamists from his time as a consultant for the Council on American-Islamic Relations. He also served as a committee at the Islamic Society of North America, according to Gaffney. Gaffney also claimed that Kahn's father was a founding member of the Muslim Brotherhood in America. And a report by Talking Points Memo. I love that. Yeah, that's what I trust. I trust anything that calls itself Talking Points Memo when that is the official term for information that comes down from the Pentagon and the DOD to the media. That's what they call it. They call it Talking Points. They put the talking points out, they get us talking about it, and that's how they run their operations. That's just unbelievable they'd officially call something like that in public. That's how goddamn stupid they think we are. Kahn called the allegation laughable and said his father was from India, noting that the Muslim Brotherhood was formed in Egypt. He's now a senior fellow for the Christian-Muslim Understanding at the Institute for Global Engagement. Norquist, a founder of the Conservative Americans for Tax Reform, was also accused of secretly providing the Muslim Brotherhood with access into the highest reaches of the conservative movement. Now, that happened during the Abramoff thing. They referenced that in the Casino Jack movie with Kevin Spacey. Grover Norquist is credentialing the perpetrators of this Muslim Brotherhood influence operation, Gaffney said. This is a part of tradecraft to get people who have a standing in the community to give it to people who lack it so they can do what they are assigned to do in terms of subversion. We are in a war, and he has been working with the enemy for over a decade. Gaffney is no stranger to making wildly unsubstantiated claims. He said in 2009 that there was mounting evidence of President Barack Obama not only identifying with Muslims, but actually may still be one himself. The man, now happy to have his Islamic-rooted middle name featured prominently, has engaged in the most consequential bait and switch since Adolf Hitler duped Neville Chamberlain over Czechoslovakia at Munich. CPAC was forming a boycott from a number of conservative groups from inviting the conservative gay Republican group GOP Proud to the conference. The Family Research Council, Concerned Women for America by Beverly LaHaye, American Values, the American Principles Project, the Capital Research Center, the Center for Military Readiness, Liberty Council, and Liberty University have said they will not attend the conference in February. So more divide and conquer there, and more attempts to just get people divided within the Republican Party. And we see that microcosmically happening as well within, as I mentioned earlier, you know, where we have all these patriots and truthers dividing each other between it. You know, oh, this person, that person. Oh, I like radio hosts better over here. Oh, I don't. And then we get in factions, you know, around whatever host we like. And then it's divide and conquer from there. I mean, that's what it's designed to do. And, you know, I never wanted things to be that way with my show. But because the information that we put out here is so negated by the intelligentsia of the Truth and Patriot Movement, because it exposes their whole operation, that inadvertently our listeners and our supporters get kind of caught up in that. And it's not your fault, and it's not my fault. It's just that, you know, when we're trying, we have information concerning the CMP and some of this other stuff that concerns people, and they won't listen to it. And it inadvertently gets us into sort of these divisionary sort of sides where, you know, it's not really about picking a side or siding with one particular host on over another. It's more about, you know, siding with the side of truth and the side of reality and the you know, and of knowledge and what's really going on. That's what we're siding with. It's not about whether or not you like me better than another host or another host better than me. It's about, you know, what side do you want to be on? Do you want to be on the side of truth, or do you want to be a follower? Do you want to be one of these people that just follows what the intelligentsia of the Truth and Patriot Movement tells you without even gleaning information on your own? And that's why I love our audience. We have a great audience of people who are real researchers. Nobody's following anybody here. Our listeners participate in what we do here. I put out stuff and then they take whatever I put out and find more and bring it to my attention. That furthers my research. You know, it's a very interactive thing. And I have a comment here. It says, I live in BC and have no fear of any event coming. All news in print, Android meme, etc. is an interactive reality show, which, yes, guides collective manifestation. No negative contrast will happen in my world. Why? Because I say so. That's from one of our listeners. Yeah. Well, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, that's, we manifest our realities, whether we know it or not. Good, bad, doesn't matter. We are in charge of that. But again, if you'd like to be a part of the broadcast tonight, we'd love to hear from you. 214-613-5732. That is the number to get you up and on the air with us tonight here for the show. Any topic of discussion, anything you'd like to get into, I'd be happy to address it. And I'm wide open on any sort of topics here tonight. And we're going to take a break, come back, and get into more news for you here. This is The Global Reality right here on The Global Reality Radio Network with me, your host, Josh Reeves. Stay with us.
na 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 na
back here with you on the Global Reality, right here on the Global Reality Radio Network. I'm your host, Josh Reeves. Thank you for being with us tonight here for another live Moonbat edition of the show. And we've got more news and information to get into with you here tonight on the broadcast. We'd love to hear from you. 214-613-5732. That's 214-613-5732. We'll get you up and on the air with us tonight for the broadcast. I had an email that came in here from one of our listeners. It's not really... doesn't really relate to music, but I'm happy to answer it anyway, just because. It says, earlier you were discussing who your favorite drummer is. What are your opinions on Neil Peart from Rush? And also opinions on Bill Hicks and George Carlin, regards to them trying to awaken the American people with their satire. I know it's off topic, but what the fuck, eh? By the way, great show. I'm glad you're going up against that POS Alex Jones. Well, thank you. And, I have a lot of favorite drummers. I don't just have necessarily one. Of course, Stuart Copeland would be one of them. But it's for me, it's like Copeland and Neil Peart and or Peart. Let me say it correctly. I like the profane Neil Peart and also Bonham, of course. We just heard there. That's actually the drum set that I play is actually. The replica of John Bonham's Green Sparkle kit that he first got and used when they recorded the song When the Levee Breaks on Led Zeppelin 4, which was the first song and that they recorded with that drum kit was actually in none other than the former residence of Aleister Crowley. And so that's the drum kit that I have. But also I'd throw Danny Carey in there. I'd throw Roger Taylor in there. I'd throw, well, there's tons of drummers. And that's a great thing about being a drummer is it's totally different than like, you know, I can always like, you know, sit down and listen to a song or a tune and play it and, you know, play the rhythm and sing the song. But I've never been one of those guys that can listen to, you know, Eddie Van Halen or, you know, Randy Rhodes or somebody like that and just replicate what they're doing. But with drums, I found that if I listen to something enough times and try it, you know, I can figure out how to play it. And then I can incorporate that a little bit into what I do. And I found that that's how most drummers play. But that's been the most rewarding thing for playing drums for me is that I always feel like there's never a ceiling. I felt that like with guitar and bass and stuff like that, I got as good as I was ever going to be. And I wasn't ever really going to, could never really progress, you know, because I stopped progressing after a certain period of time. But with drums, I keep progressing, keep getting better and keep learning new things and little things, you know, that incorporate. So it's a lot of fun. But as far as Bill Hicks and George Carlin, I've talked about that many times on the show. I think that this person's a more recent listener, but Bill Hicks and George Carlin were the guys for me that were sort of the people that I admired when I was a teenager, especially George Carlin, Bill Hicks too, who I saw on some HBO specials, but wasn't really as much into him at the time as I was into George Carlin. But those, you know, before there, I had the sort of the people in the research community. It's strange and interesting that those were always the types of people that I admired and looked up to, were people that were trying to get out real information and truth. You know, somebody that could give you the spoonful of sugar with a medicine, you know, somebody who could give you some real truth and some real things to think about, but also make you laugh and make you smile and, you know, entertain you as well, and make you also for, you know, simultaneously forget about your problems while at the same time thinking about them in new ways. And I would say, as far as that goes, that, you know, Bill Hicks and George Carlin have been a huge influence on me. And, that's something I definitely try to incorporate into the show, is, some humor. You know, that's why we do the voices and we have the little things, you know, you know, we, that's a, you know, that's a tribute to Bill Hicks. That's why we do that, you know? But, cause I think that you have to be, and that's one of the things that, when I first got in radio, Mike Chambers was kind of the guy that got me going in radio. And that's one thing he told me. He said, you know, don't be afraid, to be entertaining as well as being informative, you know? So I think that's always been a big thing for me. So there you go. Thanks to the listener there for calling in and giving us the email there tonight on that. GlobalRealityShow@gmail.com is the email address where you can email me to, and globalrealityshow@gmail.com. I'll do my best to address any and all comments that you have. You can also call and be a part of the show, 214-613-5732. That's 214-613-5732. If you want to join us on the broadcast tonight, you can call into the show there. We have a ton more news here tonight. Let me go through this stack here. See what I want to get to next. Give me a minute. I kind of came back from the break. Straight went to that email message. Oh, this is good. Check this out. You guys will love this one. Romanian witches use spells to protest new taxes. This comes to us from CBS News. I'll put a link to it in the chat room for you there. Very interesting article here. Everyone curses the tax man, but Romanian witches, angry about having to pay up for the first time, are planning to use cat excrement and dead dogs to cast spells on the president and government. Also, among Romania's newest taxpayers are fortune tellers, but they probably should have seen it coming. Superstitions are no laughing matter in Romania, the land of the medieval ruler who inspired the Dracula tale, and have been a part of its culture for centuries. President Trenian Buseau and his aides have been known to wear purple on certain days, supposedly to ward off evil. Romanian witches from the east and west will head to the southern plains and the Danube River on Thursday to threaten the government with spells and spirits because of the tax law, which came into effect on January 1st. A dozen witches will hurl the poisonous mandrake plant into the Danube to put a hex on the government officials, so evil will befall them, said a witch named Alicia. She identified herself with one name customary among Romania's witches. The law is foolish. What is there to tax when we hardly earn anything? She said by telephone on Wednesday. The lawmakers don't look at themselves, at how much they make, their tricks, they steal, and they come to us asking us to put spells on their enemies. That's funny. Yeah, they want to tax these broads for doing this, but yet they come to these witches and ask them to put spells on their enemies. Ha. Huh. Yeah. Well, we know that's going on. We know that's the truth. The new law is a part of a government drive to collect more revenue and crack down on tax evasion in a country that is in a recession. In the past, the less mainstream professions of witch, astrologer, and fortune teller were not listed in the Romanian labor code, as were those of embalmer, valet, and driving instructor. Those who worked those jobs used their lack of registration to evade paying income tax. So, yeah, the word of the wise, don't fuck with trying to tax witches, because they'll just cast a spell on your sorry ass. Somebody a few months ago had pointed out that they had heard a couple of Council for National Policy lackeys, specifically Dr. Stan Monteith and Joel Skousen, or however the fuck you say his name. Joel Skousen is, of course, a Mormon, and his father was high level in the CMP, and they were talking about how, oh, you know, Mitt Romney, you know, he's really looking like he's turned out to be a patriot conservative type of guy and blah, blah, blah. He, you know, really propping him up. And I've seen that quite a bit. And they are trying to really push Mormons to the forefront because of their bloodlines. This is why you've had a lot of Mormon related people in the Council for National Policy. You have Bo Greitz, and of course, Glenn Beck is a Mormon as well. And the reason that these Mormons are so ensconced in the right wing and ensconced within groups like the Council for National Policy and the Heritage Foundation and just on and on and on with the right wing is because of their bloodline. Joseph Smith and Brigham Young were members of the Merovingian bloodline, the House of David. And everyone who has been a part of this bloodline has been involved in organized religion. You had Charles Taze Russell, who founded the Watchtower Society. And the Jehovah's Witnesses, and of course, he's buried under this gigantic, you know, Illuminati pyramid. And the reason that they are now pushing Mormons to the forefront is because of their bloodlines. And they always like to have somebody in there that is a part of the bloodline. And that's why the majority of people that are in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, they are generational, hereditary Mormons. You know, people just don't up and go, well, I'm going to go join the Mormon Church. The majority of the time, people are Mormon by descent, by their family. And the Mormon Church has always been very ensconced in the bloodlines, and it seems now that Mitt Romney is looking to be the official Council for National Policy right-wing candidate in 2012. Insiders say Romney is top GOP 2012 contender. Daniel's second. Former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney continues to hold the poll position for the 2012 Republican presidential nomination in the latest National Journal Political Insiders poll. But the surprise runner-up to Romney was the two-term Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels, who moved up from fifth place with the last ranking of the potential GOP White House contenders was conducted a year ago. And this is why. This is why they have to have somebody in there at all times. There will never be anyone who gains the Republican nomination for president who is not a member of these bloodlines. That's just how it goes. So people can, you know, cry and bitch and moan and say revolution over and over again, try to get Ron Paul in there. But, you know, we don't know if he's a bloodline or not. Maybe he is. But I think that would stand a reason why he hasn't been able to get the Republican nomination is because you do have to be one of these bloodlines. And he very well may not be. I don't know. I can't say for sure. I don't have that much information. Can't tell you. We're very early in 2011, and I really thought that in 2011, I didn't believe that I'd already have my favorite quote of the year this soon into 2011, but boy, I do have it. And my favorite quote of 2011 so far is this: somebody is going to eat my pussy, or I'm going to cut your fucking throat. That has got to be the number one quote of the year right there for me. A woman in West Virginia recently threatened two men. One was her estranged husband with a knife and demanded that they perform sexual acts on her. And when they refused, well, that's when things get weird. According to investigators, Williams, who lives four doors down from her estranged husband at the 77 Motor Inn, showed up at his door and asked Danny Williams and another man to eat my pussy. While Danny Williams declined said invitation, the other man, Adam Watson, told cops that he agreed to perform at her request. However, as Watson approached Williams, quote, he became overwhelmed by horrible vaginal odor emitting from Melissa Williams, and Watson understandably declined to proceed any further. This is when Melissa Williams allegedly produced a lockback folding knife, opened it, and pointed the weapon at her estranged husband. She then reportedly uttered a line never before memorialized in a police report. Quote,
somebody's gonna eat my pussy. Cut your fucking throat.
When Deputy Millinger arrived on the scene, he observed Williams, who, like the other two men, appeared to be intoxicated and nude from the waist down. Now, wait a minute. She goes over to this place. She asks one guy to eat her pussy. He declines. That's her estranged husband. And the other guy was going to do it, until he smells the stank. And then when the cops get there, they're all drunk and all nude from the waist down. How does that happen? The one guy declined. The other guy said yes and then didn't want to do it. But yet they were all naked whenever the cops showed up. Man, that is fucked up right there. God damn. Oh, man. Oh, it's already. I tell you what, if that's not a sign of the apocalypse, I don't know what is. My goodness gracious. Oof. Man. It's just unbelievable. That's a Moonbat story right there. That's our first official winner for Moonbat Story of the Year of 2011. I'm sure we'll have a lot more. I meant to cover this earlier when we were talking about the earthquake thing and the birds, but I'll get into it now. I feel so lucky and blessed that science and the intelligentsia are looking after the truth, you know, because then, you know, we don't, then it makes the work that I do less important. You know, I don't really have to do my job as much when we have this kind of stuff. Listen to this. You'll love this. Reuters, Rothschild News. This is great. Mass bird deaths are rare, but not apocalyptic, say experts. Well, I would say this is worrisome because, as we know, you just take anything they tell you and you flip it around, and that's where you get the truth. So these birds dying, I would say, are apocalyptic if they're telling us they aren't. Birds falling out of the sky in the United States and Sweden are freak examples of the kind of mass animal deaths, from beach whales to deluges of frogs, that have unusual but not apocalyptic causes. Didn't we have a story here a few months ago about it raining fish in some town? Storms, hail, or lightning can kill birds, while tornadoes or waterspouts may suck up fish. I mean, they're going out of their way to try and say, oh, no, this, don't worry. There's nothing unusual or unnatural going on here. Don't worry, this is all natural. Run along. Yeah. And, you know, just when you thought TV couldn't get any worse, just when he thought that they had dredged the bottom of the lake for the most slimy, disgusting shit they could put on that boob tube, boy, you thought wrong. Listen to this. Discovery Channel and the Catholic Church are teaming up for a series on exorcisms. Oh, that's great. Now the Discovery Channel and the Catholic Church, the Vatican, will team up for a new series coming this spring on the Discovery Channel. Exorcists, Volume 2, Your Mother's Sex Cult in Hell. The series, now coming to the Discovery Channel. 8 p.m. midnight, motherfuckers, I'll kill your ass. Oh. That's unbelievable. Discovery Channel is teaming with a new Vatican, or with a new Vatican. No, Discovery Channel is teaming with the Vatican for an unprecedented new series, Hunting the Deadliest Catch of All. You know, they have the series, The Deadliest Catch. Well, I guess the now they've gone for the most extreme catch of all, and that is demons. My goodness gracious. Let's just go ahead and put live exorcisms live on TV. Boy, that's reality TV right there. The Exorcist Files will recreate stories of real-life hauntings and demonic possessions. Oh, they're going to recreate it. Well, that's horseshit. I want to see live motherfucking exorcisms on TV. That's what we need. My goodness gracious. The first time they see little Susie on there with her head spinning around, your mother's sex cult. Oh, man. The project includes access into the Vatican's case files, as well as interviews with the organization's top exorcists. Religious experts who are rarely seen on TV. I mean, they're trying to push this whole idea of you know, I mean, which is real, the idea of spirits and all this other stuff. But you notice how they're really starting to push this, just like Rick in San Diego was earlier talking about. They're really trying to push this stuff on people now. I think they're really pushing this into overdrive as far as trying to convince people that we are indeed in the end times. Oh, man, while we're on the subject of funny idiots, oh, my God, listen to this. Bill O'Reilly is now claiming that that humans are clueless as to the source of ocean tides. Well, Bill, as far as I know, since the days of fucking Copernicus, probably even before that, we have known that oceanic tides are from the result of the moon. But apparently in whatever Satan cock-sucking universe that Bill O'Reilly exists in, they don't know what causes tides. I'm not kidding. You can't make this up. What causes oceanic tides to crest and fall? According to conservative opinion host Bill O'Reilly, it's a mystery. It's not actually a mystery, but to Republican Fox News Channel's favorite grouch, tidal movements are apparently proof positive that an invisible man is pulling the strings of reality. He made the revealing statement during a recent segment of the O'Reilly Factor while challenging Dave Silverman, president of a group called American Atheists. The same organization was responsible for a billboard in Huntsville, Alabama, that calls out to atheists who may still be attending religious ceremonies. "You know they are all scams," the sign reads, promoting a regional meeting of non-believers, American Atheists, telling the truth since 1963. O'Reilly, who claims to be a Christian and a culture warrior on a crusade against ideas and trends that displease him, took notice of the group's outreach and invited Silverman on the show. Their discussion was nothing short of heated. "I'll tell you why religion is not a scam," he said. "In my opinion, all right, tide goes in, tide goes out. Never a miscommunication. You can't explain that. You can't explain why the tide goes in." Silverman looked befuddled. "Tide goes in, tide goes out? See, the water, the tide, it comes in, it goes out, Mr. Silverman," O'Reilly repeated. "It always goes in, then it goes out. Maybe it's Thor up on Mount Olympus who is making the tides go in and out," Silverman retorted. "No, no, no, you can't explain it. You can't explain that. You can't explain it. A myth and religion are the same thing. It doesn't matter. If I can't explain it, it doesn't mean that there's an invisible magic man in the sky doing it." Of course, he can explain tidal movements, as can many fifth and eighth graders in the U.S. public schools. In short, oceanic tides are caused by moon's rotation around the Earth, with inertia and gravity causing a sea swell as it passes. Scientists have measured the phenomenon in great detail, documenting two distinct tidal bulges that circle the Earth as the moon sweeps around it. But don't try telling that to Bill O'Reilly, I guess. Unbelievable. But we don't even know what makes them tides happen. We don't even know. We ain't got no idea what makes them tides happen. It's that man up there in the sky pulling the strings. He's got a big white puffy beard on, and he makes it a Christian world and makes Coors Light safe to drink. And I'm Bill O'Reilly, and I said drink Coors Light. Thank you. Don't mind that I get funding from the CMP, no. All of a sudden, Bill O'Reilly talks like fucking Foghorn Leghorn or something. Yeah, apparently they're running a major damage control on a lot of the exposing of things that have happened from, people actually doing the research and finding out about the link to autism with the vaccines. And now they're playing major damage control because actually there has been a very wide increase. I think Jenny McCarthy, the former Playboy model, her son had it, and she found out that, it was being caused from the mercury in the vaccine, and she put him on this regimen of mercury-free fish oil and cured him. And this is a huge, huge detriment to the medical industrial complex, who benefit from children having to be on their drugs and benefit from this. And so now there's a story here from CBSNews.com where they're playing major damage control. The first study to link a childhood vaccine to autism was based on a doctored information about the children involved, according to a new report on the widely discredited research. Now they're saying that it's discredited. Are you going to try and say that it's also discredited that they put this insane stuff like mercury and all this weird animal DNA? Because Pfizer and all the rest and Merck and all of these pharmaceutical companies openly admit to it. And the links between mercury and autism have been documented in scientific journals for the longest time now. This is nothing that is new, but you notice how they're really trying to say that it's all fraudulent. Same thing they're trying to run on the phony global warming thing. You know, They know they've been exposed now, so now they're playing damage control trying to run this stuff, and it's just funny to watch these fucking rats scramble, isn't it? The conclusions of the 1998 paper by Andrew Wakefield and colleagues was renounced by 10 of its 13 authors and later retracted by the medical journal Lancet, where it was published. Still, the suggestion the MMR shot was connected to autism spooked parents worldwide, and immunization rates for measles, mumps, and rubella have never fully recovered. A new examination found by comparing the reported diagnoses in the paper to hospital records said that Wakefield and colleagues altered facts about their patients in their study. The analysis by British journalist Brian Deere found that despite the claim in Wakefield's paper that 12 children studied were normal until they had the MMR shot, five had previously documented developmental problems. Deere also found that all the cases were somehow misrepresented when he compared data from medical records and the children's parents. Well, you know what? It's funny. They can do all this all day. But real educated people are now awake, and real educated people have information now. And yeah, they're still going to get some because, you know, unfortunately, lower income families oftentimes don't have access to this type of information. That's why it's important more and more that we need to get this information to people of all walks of life. Rich, poor, in between, doesn't matter. Wakefield could not be reached for comment despite repeated calls and requests for the publisher for his recent book, which claims that there is a connection between vaccines and autism. And that has been ignored by the medical establishment. Wakefield now lives in the U.S., where he enjoys a vocal following, including celebrity supporters like Jenny McCarthy. And this is standard operating procedure. Standard operating procedure, anytime any sort of real information starts to get out, they have to play damage control and try to negate it. It's completely ridiculous. Speaking of ridiculous, but we just got a lot of ridiculous tonight, don't we? Ridiculous has been the word of the past week. I've seen a lot of ridiculous in the past week, I gotta tell you. Enough ridiculous for 10 lifetimes. Florida professor arrested for having a suspicious bagel on a plane. Sir, we're going to need you to step over here. What's the problem? We noticed that you have a suspicious person traveling with you today. No, I'm by myself. No, sir. The person that you're carrying there in your hand, I'm not carrying anybody. The bagel, sir. Yeah, your bagel is suspicious, sir. We think it might be a bomb. You're going to have to come with us. You can't make this up. A Florida professor was arrested and removed from a plane Monday after his fellow passengers alerted crew members that they thought they had a suspicious package in the overhead compartment. That suspicious package turned out to be keys, a bagel with cream cheese, and a hat. Ogden Medvedovic, 35, was flying from Boston to Washington, D.C. on U.S. Airways when he was escorted off the plane for disorderly conduct following the incident. They fucking think his bagel is a bomb, and then they escort him off the plane for disorderly conduct? Unfucking believable. Monday's incident is another example of other passengers essentially becoming the authority on terrorist activity on planes. Recently, passenger complaints have resulted authorities in taking action against innocent passengers who went to the bathroom too often on a flight or who were just being annoying. In the hypersensitive world of flying, sneezing too often could get you kicked off a flight and questioned by the FBI. Milotovic, who is a mathematician and statistics professor at the University of North Florida, was minding his business when other passengers turned into super sleuths. Passengers reported hearing strange noises coming from a plastic bag. State police later said that the bag contained a set of keys, a bagel with cream cheese, and some other small food items, a hat, and a wallet. When confronted by U.S. Airways crew about his suspicious package, you know what I would have said? Yeah, I got a suspicious package right fucking here, and I'd have flopped my fucking cock out. That's what I would have done. That's what somebody needs to do the next time. Sir, we think you have a suspicious package. Yeah, I do have a suspicious package. You want to see it? Here it is. Weird. Some, like, bug flew up my nose. Ugh. You hate when that happens? And when confronted by the U.S. Airways crew about his suspicious package, Milotovic got on his cell phone. The crew asked him to hang it up and sit down. When he refused, he was cuffed. Milotovic was also charged with interfering with the operation of an aircraft. That's unbelievable. These guys harass you for your bagel, and then you're the one that You're the one that goes to jail. This stuff is so out of control, but that's what they want. I think more and more, I'm getting convinced more and more, they just don't want us to fly. I think they're trying to get people to not be able to leave the country. I think they're trying to trap a bunch of people here so they can get their kill ratio up in the next big, massive blood sacrificial ritual they pull off. That's what I think. That's just my opinion. May not be true, but I'm starting to think more and more that it is, honestly. I had a friend who's been teaching over in South Korea for a long time. She was about to go to China. And when she went to to get her visa, they told her that she was denied, and she was denied permanently without ever giving her a reason. How can you deny someone permanently from going to a country without telling them why? They probably find out she knows me. Probably why they won't let her in there. Unbelievable stuff. All right, well, we're going to leave it for there tonight, folks. We pretty much got through all of our news and stuff tonight. We weren't getting any more phone calls in, and I'm pretty much out of stuff to talk about. Plus, I got to be back up in here bright and early with you in the morning, 11 to 2 Central Standard Time tomorrow for Free for All Friday. You don't want to miss Free for All Friday. You guys remember how much fun those are, especially when we get phone calls. We'll get into some esoteric topics of discussion tomorrow on Free for All Friday. That's when we sort of get into some of that stuff. We'll do that. Get into a lot more stuff there tomorrow as well. So it should be a good show. Thanks to everybody for tuning in and being with us tonight. Don't forget and support us, folks. Donate button is there if you want to donate towards the films, getting Cigarette 2 out, more money so we can buy more equipment, get bigger and more effective. If you want to donate to the Bills and so we can eat, live, and survive, we do need support on that right now. So please use the chip and banner for that. My name is Josh Reeves, and I love each and every one of you. And we will see you tomorrow for the broadcast. You guys have a great night. Take care.